A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Cad Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. The news stands for news, and the cues stands for questions. Absolutely nothing else, just questions.
Just questions that cut to the heart of your soul. Great stuff today. This is going to be fun. We're in a down period of news, which I always say, and that usually brings back the news. It's a running, a tracking board of when will the news break after Force can record. So stand by, everyone. This seems to be a slower week. We're going to get to all that pretty soon. But right now, we're going to let you know that the podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And then we have this offer that Joseph's going to tell you about.
That's right. I'm excited to tell. This offer is from Insight Editions. They are a publisher of a bunch of great Star Wars books. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. You can get your discount by entering the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with the link insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are continuing to recommend the Insight Editions book, Star Wars Galactic Baking. Galactic Baking, not Galactic galactic banking, as we're tempted to say, galactic baking. Baking. We will be using this book to make food, not money, unless you want to start a little stand and sell your Bespin Cloud City marshmallows on the street. Probably not really the good time for it, but soon. This book's coming out on May 4th. You can check it out with the code FC35.
FC35, indeed. Check it out. We always like to catch up with Star Wars or life adventures. So in these busy times, in these almost vaxxed times, Joseph, how was your Star Wars adventures in life?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. There were definitely some ups and downs last week. The up was being stabbed in the arm for the first time. I got my first dose of my vaccine this last week, which was just great. obviously. I was talking to my wife about it, and you know, I think for our generation, Ken, you and I end up talking about our generation and the perspectives we have, because we have to be honest about that, how that colors our opinion of Star Wars, right?
Sure.
You grow up with an original trilogy, so you grow up with specific perspectives, and then you need to remind yourself of other perspectives. And that's what I was thinking about a lot when I got the vaccine, not Star Wars. I mean, I'm always thinking about Star Wars, but I grew up so aware that our generation, you know, didn't have to. There were certainly wars going on, but it wasn't like there was a draft, you know, and there wasn't like there was rations, you know. And I grew up kind of thinking that I wouldn't go through an experience like this, where everyone physically has to go through an experience like we have with the pandemic, with quarantine, right, with masks, with vaccines. And it was just really interesting to think about that, the kind of history we're living through that is, of course, our individual journeys, but yet something is happening that truly, deeply, physically affects all of us, you know, and is a really strong reminder that we're all connected. So I was having fun thinking my deep thoughts about that. And then also just being amused by the just the weird mundaneness of it, right? I'm like, to me, the vaccine is, you know, it's hope, it's the possibility, it's spring, it's turning a new page, it's redemption, it's all these sort of thematic things. And then just in the physical mundane reality, it is a parking lot on a folding chair. Not even a parking lot, it was a parking garage where I went. You know, and you know, the practicality of everybody's going through their story. Everybody in line with you is thinking about, what does this mean for me? Who am I going to be able to see? What am I going to be able to do? Everybody's got their own story, but we're all just going through this together. And for me, they gave me the vaccine. The first question was, before I got the vaccine, was, why are you eligible? And I got panicky right away, even though I knew I was eligible. I was like, I'm over 16. Got it. And then they had you wait for 15 minutes in the basement level of this parking garage. And no joke, I was just sitting in this folding chair. It was so new, it still had the sticker on. They hadn't taken off from wherever they bought it, staring at the wrong way sign. And I was like, that sign is not correct. This is the right way. We're heading out of this. So that was my big, life adventure is getting that first vaccine and thinking through, you know, what it meant to me and how I was processing it emotionally as well as physically.
I love what you're saying, because this is truly living history, and every day is a new chapter in history. I get that. But you look at the pictures from 1918, and you know, it seems so distant. You know, the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. You know, you look at that, you're like, wow, look at those crazy times with them and masks and people die. It's a page in a history book you read at school.
Yeah,
and we're in it now, and everyone, whether we want to believe it or not, or whatever your views, like, we're all experiencing this some way or another. And I like what you're saying, because I've sometimes been at an intersection staring at the cars coming at me in the opposite direction. And I'll get lost in the mushroom sauce, as I say sometimes, when I'm just like, that person has a story. That person's going home to their partner. That person's got kids. That person's worried about something. And I'm just like, everyone's got a story, and I'll never know it. And everyone in line with you has a story about what this shot will do to potentially change their life. So it's
That's a great way to say it. I think what I'm being affected by is this, you know, sometimes, you know, everybody has a story when you're at an intersection, but you know, it's not a big chapter of their story that they passed you at an intersection. Like, no matter what your story is, you have a big chapter in your life now that's about this.
Yeah.
And we all share that. And that's just fascinating to me.
I love those deep thoughts. Deep thoughts and a stabbing in a parking lot. It's all good.
Deep thoughts and a stabbing. And then I did have a couple of fun little Star Wars adventures. The one I wanted to share in particular was I had ordered some things from the Star Wars Celebration store that they had opened to everybody for a little while of the all the merch that they were going to sell. And then I let it pile up and finally opened it. And I got a fun little patch. That's the a Lucasfilm Limited production, that little patch. But in particular, I got a couple notebooks. They were selling those VHS notebooks that look like the VHS of the original trilogy that I had. Got one for Empire Strikes Back. That's great. And then these are the kind of in-world things that don't quite exist but could, is the Cloud City notebook that's basically like Lando's notebook to jot things down if he had paper in Star Wars Galaxy, and it comes with a little Baron Administrator business card. So I'm going to write down all my Star Wars thoughts in those books.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. For me and for my part, I'm celebrating my birthday.
I was about to say that. I was hoping that you were going to acknowledge your birthday here on the air.
I'm going to acknowledge it. We're recording, it's my actual birthday. We release this the day after. A lot of fun. And, you know, I enjoy birthday. I used to not. And then years ago, I was like, well, why not? Just like accept love. Some people have been very kind and had a socially responsible gather. I don't want to say party legally, a small gathering around my fire pit that people attended, and Joseph and Sarah there as well. It wasn't just about my birthday, about some other things that you guys will hear shortly. It was a cool night just to kind of get the social muscles working again. And be around folks as best we could behind masks and at a respectful distance until you drank too many White Claws, then you took a step too close, and then you had to remind yourself.
That's why I stayed away from the White Claw, because I knew I would spin out of control.
Yeah. You just went for the harder stuff. No, you were just drinking some beer, right? Yeah. So that was good. I had a lot of fun. I forgot to look at the receipt. I wanted to give them credit on the show today. Someone sent me a collection of Star Wars books that I've never really seen before. It is Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi, but it was all the Topps trading cards. Every page, every card is a page, and there's a little story. And the guy who is kind of the author of it worked on the cards. And so there's some great little tidbits. I'll have to go through a little bit more that are like, hey, we chose this photo, for instance, the Return of the Jedi, some of the speeder bike stuff. Like, we chose this photo because we put it in this order because we thought the speeder bikes were going to be part of the Battle of Endor and not just kind of that sequence. They are in there, but like, we thought they were going to have a bigger part. So just fun stuff like that. And I wanted to give them credit. I have sometimes the name comes with the gift receipt. It did not. And I have to look it up, and I meant to do that. I apologize. So if you're out there and you sent me these, take credit.
Yeah. did you collect the cards at all back in the day?
So I don't have a ton of the Star Wars and Empire ones. I have the Jedi ones, and I still have a bunch of them and found those in a recent storage, purge from another place I was storing some things. And, I have a bunch of them and, the memories, you know, you and I have been talking about this Clone Wars micro series and those sense memories that come back to just 2003. I mean, to be transported back to 1983 when I pulled out the one with I opened up the pack and it was Han and Leia kissing. And I was like uncomfortable because I didn't want my mom to see that. You know, I was like, I got a Star Wars Playboy or something. I was like, they're kissing. And my mom was like, it's okay. They're showing each other. They love each other. I was like, oh, okay. And I remember. So you see those cards and just those kind of memories tied to 83. It's powerful.
Yeah. Those trading cards, I really collected the Empire ones aggressively and the Return of the Jedi ones. And there's always just the sense memory of the smell of that bubble gum that came with it. The deep desire to you know, get them all. It was basically like, you know, kids gambling because, you know, you're like, I'm looking, totally. They're numbered and I'm missing this one. But I always remember that I learned the word pensive from one of Luke's cards on Endor. A pensive Luke Skywalker. I can't remember if that was the title or just in the description on the card on the back, but you can flip through your books and find out. But that's where I learned the word pensive. And it's always been one of my favorite words because I learned it from Luke Skywalker on a trading card.
You know what? I feel that in my heart, just all through life. There's still words. I think Last Jedi, I learned hubris. I didn't. I knew that before. But yeah, no.
You learned that from life.
I learned that from life indeed. Yeah. So, so that was it, part of the adventures. And the other thing I want to talk about, I a little cross promotion here. I don't want to talk too long about it, but I got to, for my birthday, talk with Gary Whitta, one of the writers of Rogue One over on the Good People Association on their show, The Positivity Report. Check it out. We do some silly stuff over there, but it was fun. And Josh McCougar let me have a question for Gary since it was my birthday. And we talked about themes in Rogue One, and he shared some good morsels on him and Gareth being the first two like hired employees for Rogue One. I'm sure they're, you know, some of the concept art in-house people, not counted in that, but he talked about him and Gareth in like an empty windowless office in, Lucasfilm trying to figure this out at the beginning and the themes they went with. And a lot of the themes survived the many changes of just the natural, you know, progression of making a movie, number one, but they survived the changes and the change of directors, whatever you want to talk about. The themes persisted and fought through all that and emerged on the other side in the theater. I think that's, I loved hearing that from him, but I loved hearing it, Joseph, because of what you and I just love focusing on here and something that's been part of your heart as a fan for years and years and years, just those themes and the lessons and what is there in the stories. And that's the key to Star Wars. And it was kind of good. So check it out, folks, if you want to, but it was fun to talk to him.
Yeah, that's great. He is always such a lively presence on social media. You know, he certainly talks writing stuff, but he's also one of those people. If you don't follow him, he's a really fun person to follow because he is also always just discussing video game and life. he's a lively, fun presence. And I'm so glad that you got to talk to him, not just in general, but on your birthday, and that you got to ask him about kind of the beating heart of Rogue One to him. And that's really cool to hear, because I think that sometimes I think really gets lost in the discussion of not just for Rogue One, but for any movie, of reshoots and, you know, what got changed and was it a good idea or a bad idea and should this scene have been included or all those kind of discussions. I think a lot of times when a story is working from the beginning, people do know at the heart, what is the beating heart of this? What is it about? And then all those changes, all those revisions, all those ups and downs are a question of how do we best show that? And that's really cool to hear from Gary Whitta, who co-crafted the beating heart of it with Gareth Edwards, that the beating heart survived. It got some different limbs cosmetically, but the beating heart survived.
Beating heart. And yeah, we just did the look back on the bravery of Rogue One, as you titled that episode. And it was a lot of stuff fresh in my mind. So don't want to remix all of that here, but it was, we also specifically talked about how he and Gareth made this decision with Galen Erso and the exhaust port on the Death Star. It was not an accident. It was an intentional thing. And that being part of the theme and the Empire overlooking that, and the Empire creating this big machine that was literally the beginning of their downfall, both on the inside and how it also eventually galvanized everyone in the rebellion, and how they loved exploring that this empire got so big, so cocky, so full of hubris that they kind of created their own demise in a way, from a roundabout way. So interesting stuff. Check it out. And, I'm sure Joseph and I are not done talking about Rogue One here at some point on the network.
No, in fact, I think a little later this episode.
Yes, indeed. So let's roll on here and look at the Star Wars news, catching up with all the things out there. Like I said, quite a week, but I also love a good poster, Joseph. I love a good poster, and Star Wars posters are kind of tradition. And so now we got a Bad Batch poster and an emoji. We'll talk about that. The hype is absolutely real. Joseph, what do you think about this? I'll start by saying I think it's just downright cinematic. It's big and bold, but what jumps out at you?
Yeah, I do. I do think cinematic's the exact right word. Posters at their best can just hype you. And this is a poster that just makes you excited to see the show, because it doesn't look like just a small little episodic show. It looks like literally explosive, because there are some explosions on the poster, but it just looks really exciting and fun. The big thing, the huge thing for me, is this huge, looming, ominous hologram of Palpatine. You know, I kind of like Palpatine. But two things, just the real, literal, specific. And it's a reminder that we might actually get to spend a little bit of time with holograms of Palpatine popping up right and left saying, do this, do that, do it. But also just as we've talked about with the Bad Batch, the poster really making it clear that this isn't just, hey, they're going to go off and have some fun adventures in the galaxy. This show is clearly going to be about what is the galaxy going through as Sheev Palpatine first gets to really put his boot down on everybody's neck. And that's the most thrilling thing to me about this poster, that that big image reminds you that's what's at stake in this show.
You heard it here first. Joseph is thrilled that Palpatine is putting his boot down.
I love cruelty.
It's so, we've talked about it a lot. I just, you know, we love Palpatine for all the right reasons. Love to hate him. And he is the big bad. And I was, I was thrilled in a way to see him there in the weird holographic image and of it. And it just makes sense here. One thing I wanted to focus on here is this character that we're all calling Omega, which it's interesting to note that StarWars.com just says the Bad Batch, along with the young child seen in the show's trailer. So they haven't gone out of their way to officially name the child, at least here. So, Omega is featured prominently. And so we want to focus on that too. We did talk a lot about this character, what we think this character could mean, could represent, and could be. There they are, Omega, right on the front and center.
Yeah. I looked up Omega on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And looked at where they're sourcing things. So the first sentence says Omega was a human female. And then you go down to the notes and references that's annotated there. And it says, per the German subtitles for the Disney Plus trailer of Star Wars, The Bad Batch. So not entirely official release, per the German subtitles. So we'll go with that for now. The character named Omega, perhaps a girl, perhaps non-binary. We don't really know yet, except for what the German subtitles are implying. But I'm very excited to see how this character is involved in a different coming of age story, because I feel like everybody involved has to know one of the things that Star Wars does is a coming of age story. And this particular setup right now of the grizzled vets who kind of are baked into violence, who love combat, who actually, like, that's a part of the story of the Bad Batch. It's a part of the humor of the Bad Batch of, like, we're really good at missions. You know, we are good at kicking ass, and we kind of like kicking ass. Now we will adopt a child. That just sets up this great Star Wars question of this coming of age for Omega. But what will that mean for them? Is this going to be about teaching Omega to survive? Is this going to be about teaching Omega to use violence with honor? You know, what's the coming of age story going to be?
And what's fight? What's the fight? And just look, coming of age with this character is potentially already different. If your coming of age is you're a clone, right? you're not on some faraway desert planet. You know, like Luke looking at the twin suns. You're in the center of a lot of the galaxy in a way. At Kamino, a lot of what's going on in the galaxy. You're there. You're part of the DNA of the clones out there. So, I like what you're saying. Of just can we get a coming of age that's new and fresh while still being powerful in the way coming of age stories need to be?
Absolutely. And Omega might have accelerated growth, right? So maybe they'll come of age halfway through the 70-minute premiere.
That's a good point. And I love to the sourcing of the German subtitles. I remember the reveal of Infant's Nest was like what, a trading card or something in France?
Yes,
right. God, that's memories. And then remember for a while, it seemed like BB-8 had feminine programming. Remember that came out? But it was a weird source.
Yeah, no, it is just like, I don't know. I really embrace like clearly we're so, as Star Wars fans, excited to know things and to know the story that it's fun. Like, okay, if you won't tell us, Lucasfilm, we will go to German subtitles. But also, that's, I think, fun and understandable, but then also just a reminder of nothing's ever confirmed until Lucasfilm says it.
Indeed, indeed. And it will be confirmed, we do believe, when the series debuts on May 4th. 70-minute episode, as Joseph said. And yes, we will be breaking down the Bad Batch and discussing all the things in there. We're going to figure out off air. We won't have a business meeting on air. We're going to figure out the best way to present that to you all while also maintaining some of our other programming. But we love diving in, and we hope you all dive in with us. And the final thing, I don't want to skip this, actually. Emoji. You got that emoji. And it's of Hunter. So that seems like more going to be on the way. And you, Joseph, you're going to be able to text everyone with your Bad Batch emojis. That probably is exciting, right?
Yeah, I'll text people tech. I like tech.
That'd be good. Next story here. Stellan Skarsgård talked briefly about Andor. And yes, this is sometimes Star Wars news is spun out of something that's just very brief. For The Direct, a website called The Direct, Skarsgård did not reveal much about his role, of course. Made the joke everyone always makes of if I do, they'll kill me, which maybe it's not a joke. Maybe that's starting to, maybe we're learning something. Maybe he's telling us. But he did talk about a couple things, including the tone and the secrecy. He mentioned he only gets red pages with lines, which is something we've heard, we heard tell many times. In fact, Mark Hamill kind of upset Joseph, right? It was only digital copies of The Last Jedi, I believe. Was that
right?
Remember,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? You're a playwright and a theater background, a theater director, Joseph. How do you, when the words aren't in front of you and you can't get the whole picture and the context, how hard is that as a performer to just find the connective thread with your character and the rest of the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think for myself, if I were an actor, I would be frustrated by it. But I've in my career as writer director type, I worked with different types of actors. I worked with actors who really wanted to understand the whole story, and I worked with actors who really truly believed it's. I don't need to know how my piece fits in with the whole. That the director and the writer needs to know that. I just need to know to do what I need to do. I'm of two minds, but I think for an actor like Skarsgård, he must know, like, once he gets on set, you know, he memorizes those lines or whatever. He gets a sense of what the character is. But once he gets on set, you know, unless he's working with David Lynch, he can David Lynch will only tell you what he thinks you need to know. Then he must, like, yeah, of course, once you get on set, I'll get the big picture, you know, if he's the kind of actor who needs and wants the big picture.
If he wants it, yeah. And he's done the MCU game, so he kind of probably can function in that. But I love that him kind of, again, an older actor. Maybe his sons don't think this as much. But then he went into what I thought that was the kind of the headline of this email. Oh, it was short enough to be an email of this article. He talked about liking the mature tone of Rogue One. There's a quote in there about it's not just little plastic men being knocked over. and he attributed that to Tony Gilroy, and we're talking also about Gareth and Gary Whitta up top about themes there. But I get what he's saying about Gilroy coming on in there in that third act and everything, and that led him to taking this this booking, as they say. So none of that's surprising. But what do you feel that says about the show we're about to get, Joseph?
Yeah. Well, one thing I just want to throw out real quick is I did track down the actual article, and I did not read all of it. I skimmed through it, but it's also just good to know in context, like, this is an incredibly short part of the conversation.
Yes.
And it was really helpful because I just read the, this one isn't just plastic toys falling over. And I was like, kind of got a little grumpy of like, well, I like Stellan Skarsgård, and fair enough. Everybody has a right to their opinion, but all Star Wars has value. And then I read the rest of the article, and the whole article is playful and jokey, and, you know, has a little bit of tongue in cheek. And that was really helpful for me to get the full context. He's talking about his entire career, like everything from Lars von Trier's films to Mamma Mia with a very, very brief stop on Andor. So, you know, understanding the full context is good. To your actual question, Ken, I think this really just drives home to me that I think the pitch of Andor has always been about gritty espionage. We got this little picture of who Andor is the horror of being a rebel spy who has to do many small destructive things in the service of a greater good that this character Andor just believes cannot be ignored, that that greater good needs to happen. The Empire needs to fall. So how far will I go? I think that's always been what this show is. But Tony Gilroy really, you know, taking over the project. That's really, it's really fascinating to me. I recently watched Michael Clayton, one of his films. In the past, I've watched Duplicity, which is a film that he wrote and directed. I've watched the Bourne films that he was involved in many times. And it's really fascinating that all of those films come from slightly different angles. You know, Michael Clayton's about horrifically greedy lawyers in a horrifically greedy chemical company that are just willing to let people die. Duplicity is all about corporate espionage. Bourne is obviously about, you know, someone made to be an assassin by the government and kind of having their soul stripped away from them. So almost everything Tony Gilroy has ever touched are stories of individuals trying to hold on to their humanity and morality while being absolutely caught in large corrupt organizations.
Yeah.
So all of that says to me, like, yeah, no, I think he's a real good pick for a rebel spy with a heart of gold who has to do awful things to bring down a large corrupt organization.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Bourne movies were just about punching. I guess I missed that note. actually like those films too. And it's, and I love, cause I've been listening to you, you know, you're describing this stuff and it's like, Yeah, and in my head, I'm just like, the Empire. And I'm like, well, I don't know, the Rebellion too, which is what Andor's about, you know, him as a character, about being in there. It's going to be fascinating to explore and build off what you and I love so much about some of the parts of Rogue One of how do we best fight as the quote unquote good guys? Let's figure that out. And what do we do? And what are the cost of that? And if that's what Skarsgård's been drawn to, I like that.
Yeah. And that's my wild headcanon. I won't say prediction, but like it would be really cool if Stellan Skarsgård was a whistleblower or maybe somebody that Andor really has to lie to, you know, in order to make ends meet. I'm really interested in seeing him as a kind of a morally conflicted character that Andor kind of has to, you know, do some classic espionage and lie to him, get close to him and maybe hurt his feelings.
Hurt his feelings. Or, as always, at the one point we usually predict with older actors who sometimes project a grumpy air, a bartender, just a bartender in Star Wars.
You know, let's go with that. I think maybe official Force Center prediction is he's an Imperial bartender, right?
Yes. I'm not serving them drinks anymore. I'm only serving drinks to the Rebellion.
I'm the Emperor's royal bartender.
Oh, God, that's a figure waiting to happen. There you go.
That was the other thing about this article, Ken, of like the, he has the fun jokes about like, well, at least there'll be an action figure of me. And he has a fun joke about like, I'd love an action figure of me because then, you know, when my kids are bothering me, I could say, just go play with me, play with the action figure of me. And it's such a standard old school Star Wars joke. But we're living in an action figure era where there's no guarantee.
Yeah,
that we're getting a Stellan Skarsgård Emperor's Royal Bartender action figure, and I hope we do.
I hope we do. It'll be right next to Constable Zuvio's and Lobot's, but we're going to buy them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but check out the interview if you want. And you touched on something too, just not even on Star Wars. I read that thing of the Plastic Men, and yeah, you get oddly defensive, right? You get oddly, no, not in our playground. It's just weird. But yeah, he's very affable. He's just one of those actors. He's got an older kind of, you know, grim looking face, I guess, at times. It's almost like Mark Lewis Jones, Captain Kennedy. You see him and stuff. I just kind of assume he's a little stern and grumpy. And that's not fair. I understand how acting works, but Skarsgård kind of got me. And you're right. He had some fun moments. So good to point that out.
He absolutely did. It's a really fun interview.
Yeah, fun indeed. Check it out. And guess what, kids? That's the Star Wars news. That's all for now. There's some other little items. Yeah, we could have dug into them, but you know, we're not. We're going to wait till some of the information becomes more than just little whispers of things on article titles and whatnot. Fun little thing about Plo Koon and Mandalorian. stuff we've discussed before. So we're closing up shop early today on the news, and I hope you all maybe make use of that time to go cook yourself a nice lunch or something. Ken, what are you talking about? I don't know. All right, let's get to the Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
We are recommending Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. I picked that one out this week, Ken, because I got it on my bookcase facing out, looking at me all the time. And I just did really love that book. And I think if people are kind of on the fence about should I check out High Republic, I really think it's worth checking this one out and seeing if it's for you, because I think it's an exciting new era. And I think it's just a great launch. Light of the Jedi.
I might just start reading that one again. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. We're going to take a quick break, but on the other side, we got some of those hard-hitting questions you all love sending us. So stick around here on ForceCenter. Hey, Force Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Force Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Force Center, my friends. We are going into your questions. Joseph, what do we got?
Yeah, we got questions from Twitter and patrons on Patreon. As always, we're going to Twitter first. Our first question comes from Tyler Agasha. Apologies if that is not the correct pronunciation of your last name, but Tyler has this to say. As a kid, I had the original Jar Jar Binks figure, who was also my favorite character at the time. I took him everywhere I went. Any character you love that no one else does because of a toy that you had?
Yeah. I mean, everyone's heard my Y-Wing story 15 million times, so that almost counts. But I'll start by saying there's two. I have a G.I. Joe answer. Then I got a Star Wars one.
Okay, yeah.
G.I. Joe's there during that classic era of collecting the 3¾ in the 80s. There's a character called Mainframe. And Mainframe was one of the later lines when it was still like good before it got like weird and they just repainted the figures and re-released them. Mainframe was a middle-aged computer expert back
what?
In the 80s. So remember, it was like computer expert. He is good at computers. but he was specifically like middle-aged, which now he was probably like 39, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror at his age. And I had the figure. And it was the least exciting G.I. Joe figure you could imagine. He had a computer and maybe a gun and a backpack. And because of that, I didn't seek him out. I ended up birthday gift or something. I had him. Like, he became one of my favorite guys. The middle-aged dude that joined G.I. Joe to reprogram their computers, the IT guy. And I was like, I love Mainframe. He's one of my guys.
I'm Googling this action figure. What kind of computer did he come with?
It was, if I recall, confirm if you're Googling, I think it was like, it had like a handle and it was almost like a portable. You could see where you could put the floppy disk in. It had like a keyboard and a monitor on it. If I remember, it was like gray. His tones were like gray, white, and black, whereas like his kind of figure is his aesthetic there. And they aged him. You know, he had some wrinkles.
Yes, he did.
He probably took the kids to soccer practice and then fought Cobra. Yeah, it was just one of those later lines where like, well, what else do we need? We hear kids are playing computers. Let's make a G.I. Joe computer expert.
Oh, yeah, that's so great. He looks like he has put on fatigues just to do some typing on a very large laptop.
Yeah, right. Like an early government funded laptop experiment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's boxing gray with a little handle. I have no idea if it folded out or not there. But yeah, that's pretty great. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I still have him. He's in my storage shed somewhere, and in pretty good condition, actually. He's one of the later ones I got. So there's that. So that, Tyler, your question just made me think about that. So I know the question, Star Wars. I will say the AT-AT Commander figure, or Veers, as he should have been named. I had him and still have him. He's one of the ones that survived my purge. And he was, as I always said, he survived it because he was sitting in the Y-Wing cockpit for some weird kind of Andor plot that I predicted.
Fixing the computer.
So because of that, I focused on Veers. And because of that, I knew who Julian Glover was. And then I knew he was Walter Donovan. And then he goes into Game of Thrones. And it was also, I think, got some James Bond experience, too, I believe.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I really had, it was because of the figure. It was because of AT-AT Commander that I just paid attention to that guy. You know, we're almost at the shield generator. Like, that's my guy. I have that guy.
I hope on your Game of Thrones podcast, you describe the great acting performance by AT-AT Commander.
Yes. AT-AT Commander. So skilled. Such a thespian.
Yeah, I think for me, I've talked about this action figure many times, but that Cloud Car Pilot, for the time, looked pretty cool. You know, it had the weird fatigues, and it had, you know, he had the different hand position. He came with a kind of little communicator that he could talk through, so that was a little bit different from some of the other Star Wars figures, and the cool orange helmet. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to look hard to see the Cloud Car Pilot, and I didn't even, when I had this action figure, I didn't even have Empire Strikes Back on VHS, so like...
Right.
I had to make a leap of faith that he was in the film, and I had to invent all these stories. And I think that, you know, we've talked about that a lot, of the figures where you kind of have to make up the story. It's one thing to play Han and you know all of his relationships and you know his perspective. It's different to play with those characters where you kind of have to make up the perspective. So I can't say that I absolutely love the character of the Cloud Car Pilot, because what is that character? But I can tell you, if in any storytelling, somebody was like, you know what, let's have a Cloud Car Pilot character. Like, you know, let's tell a story set during, you know, if Bad Batch went to Bespin, you know, during that timeline doesn't work. You know what I mean? Anyway, the point being, if you went to Bespin at any point in the timeline and you wanted to make a character out of the Cloud Car Pilot, I would be so into that, because it would be, the circle now being complete of, let's actually give that action figure. I used to have a character. I would love that. And then I think for more modern times, both Constable Zuvio and Gus Tours, I kind of love them because they aren't lovable, because Constable Zuvio is the character that was kind of, it's cool looking design, cool looking figure, but then, you know, nowhere to be found in the film. And then Gus Tours of the you look at all the designs, like the little guy who refuels the ships, the kids are gonna need that. You know, it kind of continues the tradition of characters like the Cloud Car Pilot. So I love those people when I see them in the film, not Gus Mazzuvio, but Gus Tours. I love it when I see Gus because of the absurdity of the action figure.
And Tours, his helmet's not, you know, unlike a Cloud Car Pilot. So,
no, he might have stolen it from the Cloud Car Pilot at some point. I want that story.
I love your Cloud Car Pilot story of the rivalry with Han for the heart of Leia, because it just adds so much subtext to that scene of one of the Cloud Car Pilots like, no, Han is not landing here. He is not landing here.
Yeah, I think that Cloud Car Pilot, I hadn't remembered this in a long time, I think he, you know, escaped Bespin to join the Rebellion, but it was all just to win Leia's heart. It's not a healthy relationship.
It's not.
No, and it did not work out for him, as I've said. He did not win Leia's heart.
Yeah, no, clearly, because I did not have a trading card of Cloud Car Pilot kissing Leia.
But that's such a great question. I think Tyler really, really cuts to something, you know, saying that as a kid, he had Jar Jar, loved the character. Obviously, kids loved Jar Jar at the time. A lot of people were challenged by Jar Jar. I think sometimes people are still challenged by Jar Jar, but it's just so important, I think, to understanding Star Wars, is that it isn't just a story on the screen. It is a story that lots of different generations have taken home with them, and you build a different relationship because of that.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. The power of the movie in your hands.
Yeah, the power of the movie in your hands. Great question, Tyler. We're going to move on to a question from Alejo. Alejo says, post the rise of Skywalker, a new government must be formed. Any idea on who will take up the challenge on creating a new government? Who do you think will be the George Washington in the galaxy? I don't know about you, but Babu Frick has my vote. look, if the politics was just a popularity contest, Babu Frick would have my vote as well. We've talked about this before, but it's been a little while, so I'm curious to see if either of us have changed much in our opinions. Where do you go with this, Ken? Who should be leading the galaxy?
It's so funny, because we touched on it, and it's like your answers can change over time, but I almost was trying to see if I could match it, because I've totally plumb forgot anything we talked about before. But it almost like we're talking about up top of the themes of Rogue One stay with the project through all its twists and turns. The answers usually are in our hearts. So I went Poe Dameron, just makes sense. And almost in a way, a better version of a George Washington type who helped lead the war. And now here you are. Then I went Rose Tico, Cato Connex, and Captain Doza from the Colossus. So I just think has the right temperament and can really find a way forward with leadership.
Yeah, no, I think this is great. My go-to answer is always that whoever is the actual, you know, leader, the George Washington type in this analogy, the chief of staff needs to be Larma Dassey.
right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because she clearly has all her stuff together. She keeps track of everything. She's got all the information. And I think the single best deliverer of exposition in Star Wars, in my opinion, good old Larma Dacey. I always forget it's Dacey, but it's Larma Dacey. So chief of staff, Larma Dacey. Mm-hmm. And then I think if you're really going for that charming, well-spoken leader who fought, you know, for freedom, and you really need that to galvanize everybody, I think you try to talk Finn, Poe, or Rose into doing it. And then there's that question of, do they want it, you know?
Right.
And I concentrated on Poe because I think, you know, he's really set up as taking that mantle of leadership. That's his arc, right? But Finn also, I think, has, you know, it'd be interesting to see somebody who's, you know, aware of the Force and aware of how, what an asset that can be politically. It's like, right. And is that question of, is Finn, does Finn want it? Rose is such a great choice, I think, because she is somebody who's like, look, I've fought, I've put my neck on the line. I put my money where my mouth is. But I'm also really still have this perspective of, I am just a person in the galaxy who would have happily gone on with my life. Yes. And then this horror arose around me and I needed to respond. So really, really great as the citizen who becomes a politician out of happenstance, you know, which I think is sometimes good because it assuages people's concerns about somebody who wants to be a politician out of just a personal desire for power.
Right. Power.
Yeah.
Continue. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say real quick that I also put down Captain Doza. I think he's got a really interesting perspective of that. Like, look, I've got some skeletons in my closet. I was a member of the Empire, but I did run away. And ever since then, I've just been trying to keep a community alive. You know, Doza, if you're not familiar with him, he's in charge of the Colossus in the Resistance animated series. And it is a real picture of leadership of he's just like, I'm trying to keep this little community, this little ecosystem alive and healthy and happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes in a good spot. He's kind of a, in the grand scheme of things, a little bit of an underrated character for me. Not that fans of Resistance underrate him, but, you know, obviously Resistance didn't have as big an impact as the other shows. But he's an interesting cat, interesting character to maybe see where you could go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What are your other thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, especially about Rose, again, this is so fun. I love that we can revisit questions from time to time because new things emerge or new content or new thoughts. But with Rose, like, you know, put her on the infrastructure, you know, like the secretary of the galaxy's infrastructure, her skills, her engineering skills. And I know you've spoken often of, in Rise of Skywalker, a movie we love that just, hey, if Rose had one piece of information that helped take down the Star Destroyers, there's something we would have loved. And I know that's real close to your heart, Joseph, too. But just like taking that knowledge and just put it in a galaxy wide to almost literally rebuild the galaxy. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I think she does, you know, have the information of that's, you know, the Death Star cannons are the weak spot, but you know, I think it should have been, you know, highlighted more and more of a hero moment, but I totally agree with you. Like, yeah, she is definitely could be the person who says, I can come up with lots of practical ways to implement solutions, right? She implements solutions.
And all this stuff we're talking about, now, I put Cato Connex just, I do love the character, and actually have a Lego minifig now of her. I'm staring at that right now. Kaika Shively over the Good People Association gifted me the A-Wing, the Temin Snap Wexley A-Wing Lego set, and it comes with a Cato Connex. Obviously, the connection to her mother in the real world, colors my choice there, but I think Connex is she's risen in the ranks. She's been there, and I think people will like and respect her, you know, and she learned under Leia, literally. So I think that'd be, she could do some good there.
That's right. And I think people see those hairstyles, and I think there is just an automatic desire to trust and listen to an inspirational figure with awesome hair.
Yeah. And finally on this, and hearing you describe like Larma Daisy as chief stuff, it's almost you could make it as a joke reference, but a short form limited Disney Plus series with a lot of these characters, it could be a live action Doza, and it's like a Star Wars West Wing. It seems like a joke. Like I get it. I'm almost like, yeah, put all these performers together and they've got to handle the reformation of the government.
I know it would be a joke to a lot of people, and I know though there's plenty of people who would not want it, but to me it isn't a joke. I think we're kind of at this breaking point of our big genre storytelling where I think there is a decent amount of us who are hungry for that next step of great, you won, what's next? And you know, Game of Thrones kind of hints at it. You know, it says what steps they're willing to make to change or what steps they aren't. But it's brief. You know, I am still hanging on to the Walking Dead. Right. I know a lot of people have moved away from that show. But you know, there's parts of Walking Dead every once in a while. Like, it's cool that you're fighting with another community. That's fun. I learned some stuff about the character. Could you just get back to infrastructure? Because every once in a while, they'll have a little section where they're like, you know what? Yeah. We can go here and get these supplies and build these seeds and build this alliance. And I'm like, yes, I'm so into that. And I would love to see that in Star Wars of just some of that real world. Like, okay, what's next? How are we going to build this?
Love that. I can just see it. Your choice of Larma Daisy. I can just see her just doing a walk and talk around the New Republic.
Oh, yeah. And I think she's got some good snark of the politicians she needs to deal with, you know, who she doesn't want to, you know. Good stuff. All right. We're going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. First up from Will Culbertson. Will says, do you think we'll ever explore what other types of clones came out of Kamino before they were hired to make the Grand Army of the Republic? Did they always make clones destined to be soldiers? Were there other types of clones made for different purposes? It seems like there are a lot of great storytelling possibilities here that so far have remained untapped. What stories would you like to see? This is a great question. It is one that popped into my head. My very first viewing of Attack the Clones, when we got to hear Dexter Jetser saying they're cloners. Like, ooh, well, what else did they make? And I've been waiting all these years, Ken. How do you feel about this question? Are you excited by this storytelling? And what do you want the answers to be?
I am, especially in light of Bad Batch, where they're very unique as a group and as clones. They have their own shapes and sizes even too and everything. So I could see exploring that. I've always kind of seen this as the order Sifo Dyas placed was he checked the box soldiers and that the Kaminoans, as we say sometimes, they could offer, I'll say servants, and that can get you into uncomfortable areas really quick. And who knows who out in the galaxy is what they're using that for? You know what I mean? But like that, or I don't know, repopulate a city. I don't know. Like, what do you do it for? I would love to know what the other buyers need more than the clones. And is the Grand Army, the Republic soldiers, and also mechanics and did they do that kind of stuff? And is there kind of a pecking order? I could explore that, but I have always kind of been intrigued about who else is, as you said, Dexter points it out, like who else has been buying these clones and for what for? Because this is just the DNA of Django. So who knows what other kind of DNA they could have taken and what kind of clones they could have made from those DNA samples.
Yeah. And you get the sense that just from Kylo's one line of maybe we should have gone with the clone army that, there's other options out there, other places to shop besides Kamino. And looking forward in Bad Batch to get a little bit more. It looks like they're going to be on Kamino. Yeah. Maybe get a little bit more of that story of the fate of Kamino playing out on screen. I think popping up in High Republic would be a great place to hear about this or any kind of storytelling that takes place in the unknown regions. Who knows? Maybe it'll pop up in one of the Thrawn novels. I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll see where the Ahsoka show takes us. If if that takes us to Purgletown, Purgatory, wherever Ezra ended up. Wild speculation here. I think that's a good place for these stories to pop up. But for like the kind of clones they made, there's so many great stories to tell, like the story about the clone army, about the humanity of it, but there's also stories to be told about the horror of it, right? Because there can be good and bad here. So I'm not making light of it with this analogy, but I've mentioned before, I worked at Kinko's for many years and it's literally making copies, not as morally ambiguous, but I always kind of took it as like, when I worked at Kinko's, there were orders of every kind. I worked at one at the time that was in downtown Minneapolis. We had a lot of extremely large corporate orders, right? But then you'd be making calendars and you'd be helping a grandma, you know, with her book of photos. And you'd be helping just like a small theater troupe who is making, you know, is trying to apply for a grant and needs about 20 copies. So everything's scalable, right? And I always took it as Sifo Dyas walks in and is like, I'm going to put in an order so big, you won't have to take any other orders. Yeah. And just like he's just like a corporation walking in and going, I'm going to place an order so large the entire planet has to do it. So I think the scalable thing is what made me think like, okay, well, maybe an individual company does place an order for workers in a factory, right. You know, and maybe that's hey, they pay them fairly and they have a good life. Or maybe that is a horror show. That's a story to be told. I can imagine. I think there's a lot of room in Star Wars to tell stories of these 20 years, these three planets were at war and it's not a whole galactic thing. And I think there's plenty of like they made plenty of small armies for battles between a few planets. And maybe after a planet is ravaged from a war, maybe clones are needed to just like repopulate it. So that so it doesn't fall apart. I think that we think about it as humanoids because of the clones, but you know, can they make animals? Can they make endangered species? Can they realize that animal we hunted was keeping our planet's biodiversity alive and we actually need a bunch more of those space rhinos we killed. Here you go. And then the last one for me is just, I have to believe there's like vanity legacy projects, like a little bit like Django, right? Of just, of, you know, I want a family of me's or I can't transfer my spirit into a clone. Like it appears to be Palpatine's dark arts. But when I die, I want to know that there's another of me and not even a childhood thing of just like, I want there to always be a me. I won't know it. My soul won't be in that vessel, but there'll be another me.
You're having from comedy to serious things. And you mentioned the High Republic. As far as that era could potentially stretch, right? And we got a couple centuries to play with. It would not be out of place to go to Kamino in the High Republic and deal with it in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a small little thing or something big or. Like you said, a cadre of servants and the morality around that, or it's not out of place to explore that era. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all.
No, and I think especially like the books really have, I think, room to kind of play with some of these ideas of like, well, how does the Republic feel about that? About cloning? Is it generally like, it can be immoral very fast? You know, obviously the perspective from the Jedi, which we get in the Clone Wars animated series, is. The clones exist now and they are unique in the Force and they are people and we respect them, you know? Yeah. But, you know, does the Republic back in the day feel like, it's really dangerous to just have a place that makes factories of indentured servants or slaves. We sort of frown on that, you know, or get into all of that moral discussion. I think High Republic is a great place to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. No. I know you've thought a lot about it, but it's just like, our friend Brian Ward just released a new Dexter Diner t-shirt that I ordered. you and I love Dexter, and it's not just
hey, we're trying to be contrarian to other people not liking Deck. There's a lot in that. There's a lot in that sequence that inspires thoughts.
Yeah. You know, we really not, you were talking about not having business meetings on air, but maybe we should do a scene by scene because there's a analysis of that scene because there's a ton going on there besides just the 50s aesthetic and Dexter's awesome mustache, which are worth talking about. But there's a lot going on there, you know, including Obi-Wan's anti-droid speech.
Yes. Yes. I almost think we should. Well, I'm sure now we'll get some tweets in favor, maybe one or two against. I think mostly in favor. there's a lot there. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Dangerous to have a business meeting on air, but there you go. I couldn't contain my enthusiasm. Great question. Well, I think that is a huge untapped potential of storytelling with the clones. And we here on Force Center love the hell out of Kamino. So we're happy to revisit that. So we're going to go on to our final question from Mac. Mac says, what's your favorite super short line, no more than 5 to 10 words from any Star Wars movie, show, aside from I Am Your Father? Mine is probably a tie between Kylo saying, we're not done yet in The Force Awakens, and Han saying, sorry about the mess in A New Hope. As always, love the show. You guys always make my day when any new episode comes up. Thank you so much, Mac. That is very, very kind. Ken, do you have favorite short lines? We talked last week about kind of meaningful lines. So I suppose these could be meaningful, but these could also just be fun of delivery or, any number of reasons to love them.
Yeah, and we should rank some of these one day or go in. Again, this is a question you could ask me in 3 months, and I'll probably answer entirely different things based on mood and strength of memory. Sometimes there's so many else to choose from. I put down four here. One, I've told even the story of some of the times I've used it. I love Luke saying to Jabba, this is the last mistake you'll ever make. Number one, because it's pretty aggressive. For Luke, pretty aggressive for a Jedi, but he's also got this thing going on, this plan, whatever it is, and just kind of fits into it. And it's one of the only times I can recall of Luke just being like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I love that he it's kind of an implied threat. And then he out on the skiff, he's like, oh, Jabba didn't quite hear that. Free us or die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it crystal clear what he was saying.
Yeah. But so I've used that in context before in life of just like being pushed down a hallway with a bunch of people and looking at my friend and saying, that's the last mistake you'll ever make. And he gets up. Couple other ones there. And again, literally so much to choose from, Mac. This might inspire a future episode. I actually really love, and it is about delivery. I absolutely love two fighters against a Star Destroyer. It's just just the best.
Hobbies. Yeah. Yeah, Derek negative attitude Clivian, right?
Yeah. Do that. I love that. And then the final two for me. I love, would it help if I got it and pushed is just an all-timer.
It is one of the best jokes. Yeah, if you rank jokes for me, that's going to be in the top five,
right? But Han's response, it might is my mood a lot of the times. It's again, I'm a Han guy, so I can. I've always loved that response of just like, because she gets him with that, right? I think he's hurting. That's his ship, man. And so he just kind of has that like, yeah, well, you try it. Maybe you should. And it might. I've always loved that one. And final one for me that I'll concede the floor here. Going to the Phantom Menace. It's very meaningful. It's very deep, but there's always a bigger fish. I mean, the delivery, the tone, the tenor, and the lesson behind it. I love that one.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish. It's an absolute classic. I'll try to contain myself because I wrote down a couple. I'm going to go to a couple classics for me, and they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. I know it's a very popular one, but I cannot answer honestly without answering, do it. It's funny, but it's so... meaningful. It is, that choice of Palpatine to let the mask drop. He's got, that is absolutely Supreme Chancellor Sheev Palpatine saying, good, good, kill him. And then when Dooku realizes his absolute folly and Anakin hesitates, he takes the mask off and his true voice comes out and says, do it.
Yeah.
And pushes. So it's meaningful and it is funny and it is just, it's Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I have gone on about in the past on Force Center, but hasn't come up as a lot because we haven't been doing the show Data Bank Brawl, where I used to quote it all the time. It's Luke's line in A New Hope, where Han and Leia are fighting, and Luke is coming in on the end of the fight, and Leia says to him, "I wonder if your friend cares about anything." And Luke says to Leia as she's walking away and not really listening to him, "I care."
That for me, other than just being a beautiful line, that for me and you in our journey towards working together, now working together 6 years, was one of the moments where I think whenever I first heard you kind of reference it, I was like, yeah, we're good. Like, we've been on the same path. It's one of those side, you know, everyone else is focused on everything else in Star Wars, but I'd be on the playground going, but then he says, "I care." And I love that. So I love that you celebrate that line.
It's such a great picture of Luke. You know, he's the youthful farm boy who doesn't yet know how complicated things are. And he's like, it's so easy for him to be sincere. And it's so great. It's so his character. And I don't think he ever loses that. He's got all these all the grumpiness on top of that "I care," but he never loses the "I care." You know, the "I care" is why he goes to Octo, because he cares so bad that he made a mistake. Moving on to just a couple other ones. I tried to reach out with my feelings and not overthink this one and see what came to mind. And one we haven't talked about as much is from Poe in The Force Awakens, when he's making the plan to escape with Finn. And it's really just got this great adventure serial energy all through that section when they're planning to escape. And Poe says, "We're going to do this."
Yes.
Right, and that's one that you can deploy in day-to-day life too, if you know. Yes. When we can get back to hanging out with buddies and go like, "Hey, do you want to get some tacos and then play some video games?" Yeah, we're gonna do this.
Love that. That's great.
And then two more for me, and I'm containing myself here. An Obi-Wan line that I really like that resonates with me because it's just kind of fun and funny. It's a great little action line, but it says so much about Obi-Wan and about Anakin. It's Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin is jumping around the elevators and Obi-Wan kind of sighs to himself and says, "Always on the move." Yeah.
It's so like,
he's just like, you don't always have to run. You could walk. All right. Okay. Always on the move. And the last one for me is, it's definitely meaningful, but it sneaks under, Max's great, 10 word limit from Rise of Skywalker: "Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi." I just love that line. It is something that when I'm feeling stressed, I can deploy to myself, and it is one of those reminders to just be like, I'm not afraid of facing my weird, evil grandfather figure. I'm afraid of my taxes or, you know, a phone call. But it is a great centering thing to just be like, remember, that's what you're doing. Is it's okay to feel that fear, and that's what is making you Jedi-like and connecting you to this story you love, is acknowledging the fear and confronting it and making that phone call.
make that phone call. Yeah. I got to make one today. Yeah. It's a great scene. Yeah. We're pitching some wonderful scene by scene ideas here
today. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, our next main episode should just be, what other episodes do we want to do?
Yeah. Force Center, pick an episode. Yeah.
But there are many to do. This is a, like you said, this could be a ranked episode. There's so many, many great options, but absolutely great question, Mac, Will, Alejo, Tyler, thank you all for the wonderful questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all for listening, supporting, and finding us. And hey, you out there can find us as well. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. We did a Spotlight Star Wars this past weekend. And actually, I rolled cameras. I know people want to see our faces more than we want to show you here on the channel. But Jamie Stangroom, who just did his Lightspeed Tonight series, his episode one, I think second episode's coming out. Then my voice is in the second one. And he's hoping to, I'm pushing him to do more because he wants to get Attack the Clones next and Revenge of Sith. Check it out. We did an interview about his kind of making those, and he's such a charming guy. So check those out on the YouTube channel. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Amazon Music and Spotify. So check that out there. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Always looking for new patrons. And I guess I should mention, you can support. If you're looking to support the show here, Grassroots Podcast, we're not on a network. We're three folks, Jennifer included, making this happen. If you wish to support in some way, and we appreciate that, you can support on Patreon, or you can also support on Anchor. There is a feature where you could do a monthly support there. So check that out if that better fits your needs. Or if you always say the best way to support us, too, is to just listen and tell a friend about what is going on here at Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to KenNapsok.com for more things there. We always like to focus on charities and things of interest out there. Oh, a lot going on in the world, a lot going on out there. We're very aware of some of the dark times, but also hopeful times as well. We try to focus on all of it as we can. So I'll just throw out one I work with a lot as I kind of refocus on some other charities coming down the pipeline here. But stbaldrick's.org, if you want to help fight childhood cancers, go check out stbaldrick's.org. Joseph.
Yeah, great stuff. You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. And for all my other comedy adventures of all different kinds, you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com. Ken, I think it's great to, as you just did, remember to say thank you to people who do suggest us, because that is, I think, the best way, the grassroots, to just say, hey, if you like Star Wars, check them out. And it is really nice. We do see on social media when people do that. I had fun reading a thread where somebody was discussing what is Leia's journey in the original trilogy. You know, does she actually have character arc, and in which movies and in what way? And people were having a great fun discussion about that. And somebody popped on and said, hey, the people at Force Center had this discussion. There are some great thoughts there. And that was just really nice to see, both just the suggestion, but also just, you know, people really engaging and really wanting to have those kinds of discussions about Star Wars. It was just such a great thread to read of lots of positive thoughts and lots of sharing different perspectives and thoughts on a cool issue like that. So that was very cool. And then for me, there's a lot going on in the world. In particular, I know people who listen a lot know I'm from Minneapolis. I live in Los Angeles, and that is my now home. Minneapolis is my hometown. It's my always home. A lot of friends there, a lot of family there, and there's a lot of pain in Minneapolis and those surrounding communities. I lived in Brooklyn Center when Return of the Jedi came out, and a lot of the memories that you hear me talking about right there in Brooklyn Center, where there's a lot of pain, a lot of trauma right now. So I just wanted to say that my a lot of my mind and a lot of my energy is in Minneapolis right now, just really hoping for as many people as possible to find peace and to find change and to find a way for people to live lives that are not as impacted by fear and pain, and a hopeful, better community. There's a lot of great things about that community, a lot of great things about Minneapolis. So my mind and my heart and my soul are on that in a lot of those issues right now this week. Final thing for me is, if you have strong opinions about anything going on at any level of politics, there's this great service called ResistBot, where you can quickly send a message to your reps. And I use that often to let them know what I want them to do in terms of votes, but also just, hey, if something's going on in the world, is my rep, I would like you to make a statement take a stand. And I think ResistBot is just a great way to do that. So if you're feeling strongly about anything going on, ResistBot is a way to get your feelings out there.
All well said, sir. All well said.
Thank you.
Well, that is our 316th edition of Force Center. It was part of business meeting, but it was a good one. Great stuff. Great questions. A lot of fun. See y'all for a look at the Clone Wars micro series later in the week. If you're listening in order, if you listen 2 years later, we're glad you're here as well. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.